Okay, we're reading here on the beginning of Tmura. The first amud and a half are very familiar to us because it's a repeat of the Gemara that we saw in the beginning of Arachin. But regards to Tmura, we have a psukim. Actually, they come from the same prakim that we've been dealing with at the end of Vayikra. In Vayikra Chav Zayin, in Pasuk Tet and Yud, which is talking about a person who's magdish a behema to the Mizbeach, Dushat Aguf. Over there it says, Vim behema, she yakrivu mimenu korban Hashem, and then, lo yachad ifenu, velo yamir oto, tov bira o rabatov, v'im hamer yamir behema bibehema, v'yahu utmurato yekodesh. Our Masechta is going to deal with that pasuk yud, that the ability, or what happens when one tries to exchange a behema to kodesh, what's the status of the new behema that's created, and who can do such an exchange. There is an additional pasuk of Tmura that comes up by Meiser Behema at the end of the parsha, at the end of Vayikra Chav Zayin, which is V'chol Masar Bakar Vatzon Kodesh Yavor Tachat Hashovet Asiri Yekodesh Lashem Lo Yivaker Ben Tov Lera V'Lo Yimirenu V'im Hamer Yimirenu V'Yahu Tmurato Yekodesh Lo Yigel. That's the two areas that deal with the Tmura.
With regards to a quick introduction here for Tmura, you should just understand that when it comes to Tmura, that the Monea Mitzvot count them as two separate Mitzvot. There's a Mitzvot Lo Taseh, which means you're not allowed to exchange the animal. And in addition to that, there is a Mitzvot Aseh. Once you have exchanged the animal, now there's a Mitzvot Aseh to treat that exchanged animal properly, to treat it as Kodesh and to take care of it in such a manner. So that's a derivative of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lo yachlifenu velo yamir oto. So that's the action, the lav, which is the restriction against doing such an action. And then, Ve'im hamer yamir, behema bebehema, vayahu tmurato yekodesh. That's the demand. Once you've done it, the outcome of that is that there's a mitzvah to say that it is kodesh. So therefore, the Rambam counts it as two separate mitzvot, one a lo taseh, and then an aseh. As to the reason for the mitzvah of tmura, the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, he says, even though generally we don't look into the reasons for mitzvot, nevertheless, we should at least try. The Rambam gives a reason that's really contextual to that whole parsha in Vayikra Chav Zayin. In Vayikra Chav Zayin, we're talking about Hekdesh in general. It's talking about how a person interfaces or interacts with Hekdesh. And over there, the Torah is worried about a person's personal wealth and their interaction with Hekdesh when it comes to their own benefit. And what we worry about is that a person will make decisions for their own benefit rather than from the benefit of Hekdesh. A person always looks out for themselves first. So in order to prevent that, we have certain dinim that apply in that whole parsha. For instance, the balim, the owners, always have to add on a chomesh. They always have to add an additional fifth on top because we're afraid that they will undervalue the item because they are no ge'aba davar. So in order to prevent that problem, we say they have to add on a chomesh on top of it. And the same thing here is true by Tmura. Tmura, we don't allow you to do rabbit tov or tov bira. We don't let you do anything because we're afraid that the person is going to say, yeah, this is an upgrade, this is better, but it's not really true. It's really a downgrade, or they'll be apt to do a downgrade. So we say no exchanges, no changes whatsoever in order to prevent the person from having any personal interest here and getting involved where they have to decide between themselves and Hekdesh. On the other hand, the Sefer HaChinuch takes a different approach to the Tama Mitzvah and just says that this has to do with Chumrat Hekdesh, that the Torah wants to establish that Hekdesh is so chamor that we don't play around with it. We don't touch it. That's out of bounds. And therefore, lo yachlifenu velo yamir oto is a restriction to prevent a person from interacting with Hekdesh in a way that he would interact with any other mundane matter. It's a separate category. It's chamor. And therefore, you're not allowed to exchange it. You can't change where the Hekdesh resides. Rav Hirsch actually gives a beautiful explanation for the Parshat HaTmura. He notes that the juxtaposition of the parshat of Tmura, which is talking about a behema that is ra'uy to go on the Mizbeach, next to a parsha of a behema balat mum, a behema that's a bal mum that has to be redeemed. In one case, we allow you to do a redemption. In the other case, we say no exchange. So why is it in certain instances we say yes, in certain instances we say no? So the reverse says the determining factor over here is what is the subject of the exchange. Pidayon, when it comes to redemption, the focus is on the korban itself, on the kodesh. If you go and state and formulate it in a way which says that this kodesh is michulal, is now exchanged, is redeemed on the other item, that is fine. The way that Tmura is formulated is rather that you focus on the chulin side. You focus on the animal that's going to receive the Kedusha. You say, this replaces the Korban that I had before. And so the Pidayon is Mutar because of the focus on the Korban. The Tmura is Asur because of the focus on the item that you're trying to move the Kedusha onto. Why is there a difference? So Rav Hirsch explains that a Korban, a person can't look at an animal simply as an animal or as an object. The animal or the Korban is something that represents them themselves. It's like the Ramban in his description of Korbanot and the way that a person has to view the animal as if it's himself that's going on the Mizbeach and that something is Hekdesh, is something above just being an animal or being money or a donation to the Mikdash. It's as if he himself has been donated to the Mikdash, as if he himself is going on the Mizbeach. And therefore his relationship or how he relates to the animal is very important. If he simply relates the animal as a monetary issue, so you'll say, listen, it's on there, I want to move it on to here. That you can't do because then you're treating or misunderstanding what the purpose of a korban is. On the other hand, if you relate your statement to the korban itself and saying, this korban, I'm going to move the kedusha onto this other item, then you realize that the whole purpose of the animal is the kedusha. And the only thing you're focused on is the kedusha on the animal rather than the object itself, the object that is the tmura or the redemption over here. So when it's formulated and understood that the Kedusha is the focal point and it represents you, over there you can do Pidayon. On the other hand, when it comes to the fact that you're just treating it like a monetary matter and say, oh, I'll trade this for this, and trading, when you do that, it means that you've diminished the Korban down to a monetary issue, a donation to the Mikdash, no longer that unique Hekdesh that has with the Korban that really embodies the individual who's bringing the Korban. That just gives you a little flavor for what some of the Mefarshim say about the reason for Temura.
Our Mishnah is going to begin with the same structure that it began with in Arachim, which is Hakol. And that's why in the beginning of Arachim, brought down from all of Shas, all the times that it said Hakol, and here is one of those times that it brought it down and discussed at the beginning of Arachim, which is Hakol, Memirin. Everyone can create Temura, Echad Anashim, Ve'echad Nashim, men, women, Lo, Shadam Rashay, the Hamir, not that it's permissible to do such, Elishim Hamir, Mumar, but if he does it, it works. Sofeget Arbayim, and then you get Malkot for doing that. Sofeget Arbayim, it's interesting, Tosafot right away raises the possibility that you should get Shmunim, that maybe you should get 80, and not 40, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yachalifenu, Vilo Yamiroto, those are two Lavim. So why is it that you only get Arbayim? So Tosafot says, maybe it's just a placeholder. I mean, really, you do get 80. Arbaim just means you get Malkot. The other possibility is that you only get 40. Utrei lave tzrichi, chad b'karban shelo, v'chad b'karban shel chaveiro. That each one is an independent lav. One about you're not allowed to perform tmura on your own korban. And number two, lav is a lav that you're not allowed to perform tmura on someone else's korban. So they're two separate lavin, and therefore you would only get 40 for performing tmura. Chad gufa kasho. So this is the same question we've seen before in Arachin. We actually saw it back in Chulin as well, that the Mishnah is internally inconsistent. Amarta, you began with Akol Memirin, which sounds like Chatchilah. Go ahead. Everybody can go ahead and be Memir. V'adar Tani. And then afterwards, the Mishnah says, Lo Shatam Rashad Amir, which makes it Dieved, that it's only a Dieved situation where if you do it, then this is the outcome of doing it. So which is it? Are you allowed to be Memir? Or is it only Lashon B'Dieved? It is interesting that the way Rashi interprets B'dieved over here is he makes it more like the way that you would know what everybody else in Shas, which is Rashi says, Dieved bit me on the Chatchila Eino Rashai Lamir, Aval Dieved Shapir Dami. It would have been fine. Just shouldn't do it, but if you do it, it works, and that's okay. It's B'dieved, it's good. If it's Isbaro, the Gemara wants to know, wait a minute, forget about the Mishnah. Let's just back up and go to the Psukim. Now, the next three words are knocked out by the Gra. Right, before you ask a question with the Mishnah, why don't you get the Pasuk? Tichtiv, lo yachalifenu, velo yamiroto. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to do it. So how could you suggest Hakol Memirim after the Pasuk specifically states that you can't do it? Elama Rav Yehuda, Achiktoni, this is the way to explain it. Hakol matpisim bitmura. Everybody has the ability to create tmura. Echad anashim, ve'echad nashim. Men and women, and we'll see later on in the sugya why they had to specify women here. Lo shadam rashay l'amir, the outcome is elishim emir mumar v'soveg et harbayim. So the question of akom emirim is not telling us that we have permission to do b'memir. It's telling us the situation that everybody has the ability to create tmura. So the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about the creation of tmura.
It's answering the question of who.
The latter half of the Mishnah is speaking at that
is answering the question of permissibility.
If you do create Tamura, then you have a violation of the law, and you will get Arba'im Malkot. So now Gemara wants to know, as it does everywhere in the Bavli, Akol Le'etu Yemai. And this is why we're harking back to Arachin, which is, when you have the word Akol, what does that do? Le'etu Ye Yoresh Udlok Rabbi Yehuda. To come to include a Yoresh, that a Yoresh is Meimir, Velok Rabbi Yehuda, against the position of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tananya, we have a Braita, Yoresh Someich, Yoresh Meimir. A Yoresh can do Smicha, and a Yoresh can do Amara. Now here we're talking about an animal that was separated by a father. Father passed away, and now the child is going to bring it on behalf of the father. Does that Korban Olah, does that Korban Shlamim require Smicha? And can he, does he have enough ownership, balut over it, that he can make a Tmura out of this animal? So Rabbi Meir says, yes. You can be Yoresh is Sumech, Yoresh is Memir. If you don't marry, Yoresh Enu Sumech, Yoresh Enu Memir. So obviously that's why, if you suggest that the call is Latuye Yoresh, that Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of our Mishnah. So it's not Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So it is a Yoresh Sumech and Yoresh Memir. So my time out to Rabbi Yehuda. How do we understand the position of Rabbi Yehuda? What's his source? It says, Yalif, Tchilat Hekdesh, Misov Hekdesh. He learns out the beginning of Hekdesh from the end of Hekdesh. At the end of Ekdesh here, everything's relative. So over here, the end of Ekdesh is Smicha. It's the last thing you do before you shech the animal. Tekef, l'smicha, shchita. It's one of the kafim. It's one of the things that has to be immediate. After you do Smicha, you must immediately shech the animal. So that's the end of Ekdesh. So that's Smicha. Beginning of Ekdesh is Tmura. That can happen beforehand. After the time that it's Kodesh, you can do Tmura with the animal. So he says, I learn out Tchilat Ekdesh from Sof Ekdesh. I learn out Tmura from Smicha. Masov Ekdesh, just like Sof Ekdesh, Yoresh Enu Sumech, the Yoresh is unable to do Smicha. Av Tchilat Ekdesh, Yoresh Enu Memir. Therefore, also, the beginning of Ekdesh, the Yoresh doesn't have that capacity to make Tmura. Usmicha Gufa Minolan. So where is the source for Smicha? It says, Tzlat Korbano Ktive. Parshat Hashlamim, it says the word Korbano three times. As we mentioned back when we did this in the beginning of Arachin, over there Rashi writes the same thing, that Tzlat Korbano are found in the Parshat Hashlamim. Tosafot points out that there are only two, not three, at least with regards to the word Smicha. Connected to the word Smicha, there's only two. The Parsha is full of the word Korbano. Just by the word Smicha, there's only two of them and not three of them. So Tosafot says either it's implied in the third Smicha because it was mentioned the first two, or maybe we use one of the other words of Korbano that are found in the Parsha. Either way, we have three words of Korbano. Chad Korbano v'lo Korban Oved Kochavim. Your Korban gets Smicha, not the Korban of an Oved Kochavim. And when we're talking about the Korban of an Oved Kochavim, I don't mean that the Oved Kochavim himself is going to do it, but maybe you should do it on behalf of the Oved Kochavim, or the Kohen should do it on behalf of the Oved Kochavim. Korbano v'lo Oved Kochavim comes to exclude that from Smicha. V'chad Korbano v'lo Korban Chavero. You can form Smicha on your own Korban, not on your friend's Korban. Chad Korbano, v'lo Korban Aviv. And one of the miyutim comes to tell you that you have a smicha on your Korban, you do not do smicha on your father's Korban.
You said v'lo Korban,
that's the point, is that you can't have shlichut here. That's right. It's like, you can't have a shliach to put on tefillin, you can't have a shliach to do smicha for you. Begufo, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then, Rabbi Meir, Damar Yoresh Sumeich, V'aktiv Korbano. There are three words Korbano, we have miyutim here. What does Rabbi Meir do with the word Korbano? So he says, Ha'um v'ayle d'rabot, kol balei choburim l'smicha. That the last korbano, he takes away one korbano, which is korbano v'lo korban aviv, and he uses that for a different purpose, which is that if you have shutafut, if you have two or three people get together and bring a korban together, I say that each one of them is called korbano, and each one of them is somech on the animal. They don't have one representative be somech for kulam, ala korbano. Since you are shutaf, since you are a joint owner of the korban, it's as if each of us has a distinct ownership in the korban, and it's called korbano. And therefore, each one of the shutafim will have to come and do smicha on the korban. Rabbi Yehuda, balei chovarim l'smicha leitlei. So either Rabbi Yehuda has to say that he doesn't have this balei chovarim, my taima, because the ha'alomi achi korban didu. It's not your korban. It's a joint korban. And that's how do you look at partnership? Does partnership mean that each one of us individually owns the korban? Or does it mean that there's some sort of joint entity that owns the korban, but each one of us individually doesn't have ownership? How see-through is the partnership in terms of your ownership over here? According to Rabbi Meir, the partnership is completely see-through. It's as if each one of us owns a piece of this korban. It's called korbanon. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda suggests that a partnership means the partnership owns the korban, and we're only behind the partnership. The partnership is an entity that owns the korban. It doesn't see through to us as owners, and therefore there's no korbanot. There's no individual ownership of this korban. No, everybody agrees by korban sibur. There's no smicha. There's no smicha. There's only smicha by korban sibur, which is the exceptions, which are the parjalam davar sibur, serav vodazar, where Beitin does it on behalf of Av Klai. So, vi by demo, the olam, it like, maybe he does hold that partnership is see-through, and partners would have to do it. V'korban oveid kochavim, v'korban chaviro, l'chad kra nafko. So this goes back to what you were asking, Shaul. Ovei Kuchavim and Karban Chaviro are problematic for the same reason, which is that you can't have a shaliach do it on your behalf. So I'll combine those together and make them into one Karbano velo ayidei shaliach, and that will exclude both an Ovei Kuchavim and his friend. If that's the case, then I have an extra Karbano, and I can learn, like Rabbi Meir, that Karbano also comes to include Kol Balei Chavirim l'smicha. It's one of those two possibilities. And therefore, the Eiter Leichad, the Balei Chuvarim, the Smicha, and that is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Smicha B'Yoresh cannot be done because of Karbano, and then I'll extrapolate that to Tmura, which is Tklat Egdesh. So just like a Yoresh cannot do Smicha, he also cannot perform Tmura. You cannot create Tmura from such an animal. He doesn't have enough ownership on the animal. Now we have to understand Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, Damar Yoresh Meimir, my time. What's his reasoning? Samalacha, Pasuk says, Im Hamer Yamir. So we read that in the Pasuk, Im Hamer Yamir, Beima, 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 Tumurato Yakodesh. So the double Lashon of Hamer Yamir, they're both Hayoresh. That's a reboy to bring in the Yoresh. And now he has the Hekesh the other way around. The Alif, Sovekdesh, Mitikilat Egdesh. We'll learn out Sovekdesh, which refers to Smicha, from Tikilat Egdesh, which is Tumura. Ma Tikilat Egdesh, Yoresh Memir. So from Hamer Yamir, you see that a Yoresh can be Memir. Then Av Sovekdesh, Yoresh Somech. Therefore, the Yoresh can also do Smicha. Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Vim Hamer Yamir, my Ovidle. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the double Lashon of Hamer Yamir? Says the Rabot et Aisha. Come to include a woman, to say that a woman has the ability to do tmura or to create tmura. Look at the Tanya. Vi, shekol ha'inyan kulo, enu midaber, elo b'lashon zachar. The whole parsha is written in the male configuration. So, shenemar lo yachlifenu, v'lo yamiroto. Isha minaylin, why would I think that we have to include a woman? Tamalomar, v'mamer, yamir, the rabotet isha. Since it's written in the male formulation, therefore, I would have thought a woman would be excluded. Therefore, I have the rebuy of Amir Yamir to include a woman. Now, we'll have to get back in a second. Tosafot asked this back in Arachin. The whole Torah is written in the male formulation. What's different about this parsha in particular versus any other parsha that's written in the male configuration? Tosafot over here says, and we'll see at the end of the sugya, that the Gemara has a havamina why we would have excluded a woman. In a couple of lines, we'll see that. And therefore, because of that havamina, that there was a reason here to exclude a woman, therefore we take hold and say, ah, it's written in the male form, maybe it excludes a woman over here. But that's not a general principle, just because it's written in the male form, that means that women are excluded. So now, what about Rabbi Meir? Where does Rabbi Meir learn out about Isha? Rabbi Meir, Isha Minole, Nafkale, Mi Ve'im. Here's the extra vav, ve'im, hamer yamir. So that comes to teach me not only hamer yamir, that a yoresh is memir, but also ve'im, memir means that even a woman also can be memir. And obviously, Rabbi Yehuda, ve'im, lo dorish. Is that dorish, that extra vav, or that extra ve'im. Uben Rabbi Meir, ben Rabbi Yehuda, time of the Rabbi Krali Isha. The whole reason that we include a woman is because the pasuk has a specific ribui. Halo Rabbi Yekra, had the pasuk not included the woman, Avamina, ki abda tumra lo lakyo, that she wouldn't get malkot. Why is that? Why would you think that a woman is excluded from this lav? V'amar Yehuda marav, v'chein tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, ish o isha ki asu mikol chatat ha'adam, yishva katuv isha li ish l'cholon shim mishra Torah. We have a general principle. When it comes to negative precepts, women and men are absolutely equal. There is no exceptions. Women are chayavot in all negative precepts, except the Mishnah Kedushim gives us the exceptions, which are lavim that are particular to a man. But other than that, a woman is included in all lavim. So why would you suggest over here that she should be different? Itzrich, ma'udetema, or I thought, hani mile, onish de sheve ben yachid ben bitzibur. That's only true when the punishment is equal between a yachid and a tzibur. Here the punishment is not equal. A tzibur and a shutafim, answer your question, cannot create tmura. There is no tmura by korban tzibur. So too a woman being excluded. So this is not a full-fledged love. Therefore, maybe we think that the woman is also excluded. Kamashulan, that we do not exclude the woman, even though it's Sibur and Shutafim are excluded. That's the girso that we have in front of us. Rashi has an alternative girso as well, which is, Hani Mile, Lav Sheish Bo Maaseh. The Hani Onshin Shavin Zelizeh. It's a Lav Sheish Bo Maaseh. Then we say that men and women are equal. That statement of equality is only said by Lavim Sheish Behen Maaseh, that have action involved with them. Balav she'en bo maseh. You have a lav that has no action. Here, it's all about dibor. Over there, maybe this principle doesn't exist. So kamash malon, that here women are included, even though it's a lav she'en bo maseh. So that's the other girsa that Rashi has. Rashi offers both alternatives. The first one, and then he says lishnachrina, which is katuv basvarim. Sure enough, that's what we have in our Gemara, that it's about the lav shove bakol. And since it's a lav that's not shove bakol, maybe women should be accepted from it. And therefore we have the ribui over here to say that women are included.
Based on the person, Isha Mishak, yes, what about that person would make us think that that's only
Ki'asu.
Since the word ki'asu is used in the pasuk, therefore we focus on the action or the maaseh. And that's where we say that there's only this equality drawn between men and women when it's a mitzvah shi'esh bo maaseh. The guards to the yachid and the tzibur, it seems to say mikol chatat adam, something that is all-inclusive, meaning something that is shaveh, is equal in all scenarios. And therefore, the demand for equality between man and woman will only be in scenarios where everybody has the same din, where there's a single din across the board. When we start getting dinim that are differentiated in some way, over there we're going to suggest that the woman might be accepted as well. Just like there's another exception to the rule, the woman also might be accepted in that case.
Next piece of the Gemara, now we move away from what's familiar to us from Arachin, and now we move into Tmura. By Rami Barchama, Katan Mahu Shiyamir. What is a possibility that a Katan can create Tmura? Someone wants to know, Echidami, what's the situation here? Ilayim abakatan shlo gyalo nat nidarim. Every time a Katan who has not yet to reach the point of nidarim, then loti bailach. There's no question here. Kevin dak dushe lo akdish. Since it's impossible for him to create kdusha, amure meimir. You want him to then be able to do Tmura? When do we have the question? It's only about a katan who reaches the point of nidarim. Do we say kevin damar mar ish matamadomar kiyafli neder? Ish sounds like only a man can have a neder. So then, what is a kiyafli neder? There are both mufla samuch ish. That comes to include a child that's within 1 year of their bar or bat mitzvah, within 1 year of coming of age. That kadosh kadosh, that they are able to create Kedusha, and they're able to be makdish something, they're also able to take nidarim. So that's something that we check. Once they come of age, it's irrespective of whether they understand what they're saying or not, it's tofes. Whether they are makdish, whether they take a neder, it's tofes. When they are below the age of a nat nidarim, which means more than 1 year prior to coming of age, over there it doesn't matter if they understand what they're saying or not, nidarim are not tofes, and their akdash is not tofes. There is this status for the year prior to their bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. In that year, we test them. If they say a neder, if they're makdish something and they understand what they're doing, it's tofes, it works. If they do not understand what they're doing, then it's not tofes. So that's what the case we're speaking about over here. Speaking about such a katan. A katan was within one year of their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, and then they are able in that time period to be makdish something if they understand what they're doing. So since they have the capacity to be makdish, do they also have the din of tmura? That's the Gemara's question. Because the fact that is miakdush makdish emurei nami meimir. Since they can create kedusha, they can also create tmura. Odoma came into lab baronshinu. Wait a minute. It might be that they have the capacity through milta, through dibur, to create things, but they're still not baronshinu. They're still not of age where they can be punished. So therefore, maybe Tmura will not go through. Tmura is a lab. Tmura involves Makot. So maybe Tmura is associated with Onshin. There you have to wait to becoming of age. Kedusha and Nidarim, they have implications in terms of violation, but they can create that Isur. They can create that Kedusha even below the age of Bar and Bat Mitzvah. So we don't know which way it goes. So Gemara says, now Imtim Salomar, if you want to suggest. Now this Imtim Salomar is not a conclusion. As Rashi says, they're just testing it. They just want to move in this direction and say, well, if you say this, they want to come teach us the next Kiddush, but not because the halacha is like this. So many times, you know, Imtim Salomar means the Gemara concluded that this is such, and let's move on to the next question. That's not the case, Ariza. So they're just testing. Because eventually a katan will grow up to be a bar onshin. They want to test it out by a non-Jew as well. What's the story about tumura with a non-Jew? Since a non-Jew can be magdish, the Tanya, because they have a breita, ish, ma talmud omar. Why is there a double ish when it comes to being magdish or makriv in olah? Ish, the rabot, etov de kochavim. Come to teach you that non-Jews are able to be nodrim, nidarim, nidavot ki Israel. They're able to be makriv karbanot, just like a Israel. So fact that they can be makdish, emurei nami meimir. So they can also have a case of tumura, they can create tumura, odruma. Or maybe since they don't come into the parsha of onshin ever, I mean, as opposed to a katan who right now is not in the parsha of onshin, but will end up in the parsha of onshin, and Ovi Kochavim is not in the parsha of onshin and will never be in the parsha of onshin, at least with regards to tmura, Kiavi tmura lo katsho. Therefore, tmura will have no impact in terms of an Oved Kochavim. Right, you could have asked the question independently, but what we want to do is we're refining the question about Katan. Is this issue of Onshin so central to Tmura? By a Katan, we're saying that maybe Onshin is a central theme, and therefore they will not have a din of Tmura. So the Gemara says, well, maybe yes, because Katan is able to be Magdish, Samuch, Li'ish, and therefore maybe it could be Meimir, but Bar Onshin might exclude him. Or maybe not, because Bar Onshin, he reaches that point. So Gemara wants to test, what does that mean, Bar Onshin? Is it because he will eventually be a Bar Onshin, or is a Bar Onshin so irrelevant over here that even Ovi Kochavim, who will never reach or come to the position of Bar Onshin, he could do Tmura? How inextricably connected is the Onesh with the issue of Tmura? Is Tmura inextricably connected to Onshin, and therefore only if you're a Bar Onesh, or eventually a Bar Onesh, can you do Tmura? Or you can split the two apart and say, Tmura is the equivalent of Hekdesh. It's just an extension of being Makdish. The onshin is a result of someone who does it, who is a bar onshin, they'll get the onish. But the two are not necessarily attached at the hip. You can separate the two and you can create tumura without having the onish connected to you directly. And that's tested at the extreme with an Ovid Kochavim, who's not a bar onshin. He can be makdish, maybe he should be able to be memir as well. Alright, Amar Rava, Tashma, Titania, we have a braita. Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim. When it comes to the Kodesh and Ovid Kochavim, lo nehenin velo moalim. So if they're makdish something, you can't get hana from it, but if you do get hana from it, it is not a misappropriation of hekdesh midoraita, therefore there's no din of mi'ilah. Lo nenin v'lo mo'alim, by the way, is a code word in the Mishnah for only derabanan. It's mi'ilah derabanan, which is lo nenin v'lo mo'alim. We'll get there, we're getting to mi'ilah soon. It'll be used over and over again to indicate mi'ilah derabanan. Ve'in chayavim alem mishum pigol notar v'tamei. There's no chiyub of pigol notar v'tamei. And eno sim t'mura. Ve'ein mevi'in nisachim. They do not have tmura. Ve'ein mevi'in nisachim. And they do not bring nisachim. Aval karbano ta'un nisachim. Despite the fact that they don't bring nisachim, their korban requires nisachim, divrei Rabbi Shimon. As Rashi points out over here, when we're talking about the nisachim, there are different manifestations of nisachim. You can bring nisachim independently. You can bring no dev, a nesach. So Israel can donate a nesach to the Mikdash of the Mizbeach, and we'll accept it. By what it says here, Ein Mivin Nisachim, that's what it's saying. And Ovi Kochavim cannot do what Israel does. They cannot bring an independent Nesach. Now with regards to their Korban, there is a necessity for a Nesach with their Korban. They only bring Korbanot Nidava, Ola Shlomim, and it would require a Nesach to be brought alongside of it, if it's an Ola. In that case, either he can donate the monies for the Nesach, and if he doesn't, it's one of the takanot beitin that we take it from the public coffers and we bring a nesach along with their korban. The question here is not whether the korban has a nesach. It's clear that it does have a nesach. Either he will pay for it, or if he doesn't pay for it, we will take it from the public coffers. Issue about nesachim is that he can't bring it independently as a nesach.
Can he say bring a korban without
a nesach? Yeah, we force him. We beit him, we'll force him to pay up for the nesach. Now, we have here a statement, ein osim tmura, that you can't create tmura over here. Then, we have Amar Rabbi Yosi, B'kulan ani ro'eh l'achmir. I think that in all these cases it is the chumrah, meaning that there is mi'ilah, you are chayav alev mishim pigol notar betameh. Now we have Bamed Varum Amorim. It's not clear who is making the statement of Bamed Varum Amorim. Is this a continuation of the statement of Rabbi Yosi? Or is this reference back to the position of Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi claims over here that this is referencing Rabbi Shimon. This is a statement of Rabbi Shimon. The Re says that it's the conclusion of the statement of Rabbi Yossi. The Tosafot in the end says that the Tosefta sounds like Rashi. So we'll read it like Rashi now, which is, When did Rabbi Shimon make such a statement? For instance, Me'ilo Durabonon, that we have such kula with regards to an item, that's only talking about Kochei Aguf, Kochei Mizbeach. Vav Gdushei Berek Abayit, Molim Behen. For if they were Magdishit to be donated to Berek Abayit, that they are full-fledged Kedusha, full-fledged Kedusha, to the point where there would be an Easter Me'ilah associated with it, Mide Oraita. So the Bamed the Rabbi Mamurim is modifying Rabbi Shimon's claim that it's only Mila de Rabbanan. That's only true by Kochei Mizbeach. Mila de Oraita will apply to Kochei Berek Habayit. On the other hand, the re-reads it as a parish to Maskana de Milta Rabbi Yossi. Conclusion of the position of Rabbi Yossi. V'achi kamar Rabbi Yossi. Amar omer v'klam ani re'el achmir. V'had amar Rabbi Shimon in molim ben Bamed the Rabbi Mamurim b'Kochei Mizbeach. I say all of them achmir. And even Rabbi Shimon, who said over there that it was in Baalin, I relegate that just to Kochei Mizbeach. But Kochei Mizbeach Abayit, I would say it's Lachmir. Alright, now, Tony Mia, in the end you have Ein Usim Tmura. Can't make Tmura over here. Rami Bar Chama, Big Dish Oveid Kochavim, Lit Kaber Oveid Kochavim, Lo Kami Baile. Rami Bar Chama says, no, the Braita doesn't answer the question. Over there, you're talking about an Oveid Kochavim, that was Mafisha Korban, in order to be mitchaper for himself, for his own personal benefit, for his own usage, he takes away. That I don't have a question about, that he can't perform tmura, and that you see that in the braita that we just brought. Kikami baile, beigdish, obeid kochavim, umitkaper bi Israel. It's a Jew that requires the kapara, so the obeid kochavim is makdish and korban on behalf of the Jew. So that answers your question. He is not, it's not a personal korban, it's not for him, it's for someone else. The korban is for Israel. He's a big daddy, he's a generous man, and he wants to pay up for this korban for the Israel. We saw this having Magdisha korban for someone else's benefit. Are you allowed to do that? And there was a question about you need permission from the individual because he wants to nechale lasot mitzvah b'mamunei. A person wants to do a mitzvah with his own money. So therefore maybe you cannot be Magdisha without his permission. We had a machloket about where you need his permission. Do you need the permission at the point of Hekdesh? Or you need a permission at the time of Hakrava, at the time that you makriv it. We had a machloket in Arachim machloket about being makdish, an animal on behalf of someone else. But here, the Oveid Kochavim is doing a favor for the Israel, he's makdish it. So now our question is, batar makdish azlinan, or batar mitkaper azlinan? Who is the guiding force in this korban, in terms of tmura? Do we go after the one who's makdish it, the Oveid Kochavim, and therefore maybe there's no tmura? Or batar mitkaper, the korban is being brought on behalf of Israel. So maybe he's the one who is garnering the kapara from this animal. Maybe Tumra should apply based on the mitkaper. Tif shalemi to Rabbi Abou. We should be able to at least conclude this from Rabbi Abou. Damar Rabbi Abou. Damar Rabbi Yochanan. I'm magdish. Musif chomesh. The one who's magdish is on a chomesh. Now, this has two possible explanations. Rashi brings two. That either the magdish is musif chomesh. That only when you are magdish an animal, and you have to redeem it, then the owners will have to add on a chomesh when they redeem such an animal or such an item. That's not true when you're meimer. If you have a behemat tmura, if falls a mom or you have to redeem it in the end, that will not require that the balim add on a chomesh. That's one way to read it. Hamakdish v'lo hameimer. The other way to read it is hamakdish musif chomesh, only the balim add on a chomesh. But if you're not the balim, if you're not the owners of the korban, then you don't add on a chomesh when you redeem it. That's true of any kekdish. All the requirements that we saw in Arachin, where you add on a chomesh, steach, uzah, when you redeem it, bayit, all these things that you redeem from Ekdesh, where the owners add on a chomesh, that's only true of the makdish, the owners. Not true of any other party that's involved with it. Umit kaper oset tmura. Tmura is determined by the one who's getting the kapara. So the one who's getting the kapara is the one who is enabled to create tmura. He's the owner in terms of the ability to create tmura here. V'atorim mishelo al shal chaveiro. Someone who takes off chuma from his own crops, his own produce, on behalf of his friend, he is being metakein his friend's tvalim. Tovatana shelo. Tovatana is the ability of you to choose which kohen, or over here a levi possibly, that you give the item to, the matanat kohenah or the viyah to. That has monetary value. And now we saw that just in Chavtet, back in Arachin also. Over there it was talking about hekdeshi lui. That you're going to be makdish something that's already kodesh. What are you makdish? You makdish your residual ownership in the animal. What's your residual ownership in the animal? For instance, by Bechor. Residual ownership is the determination of who it goes to. Someone can pay you to give it to their grandchild or their nephew who is a kohen. So since they could pay you for that, there is some value to it. So that tovah tana belongs to the one who is taking off the truma. It doesn't belong to the one who's items are tevel, belongs to one who's actually mafrish the truma. Amalei, hatam hu deka'ate mikoach Yisrael. That statement of Rabbi Abbo is talking about where the Makdish was Israel and the Mitkaper was Israel. So since it's coming from a Koach Israel, over there we talk about the Kapara, or the one who is being Mitkaper, is the determinant for Tmura. Beginning to end, it's with Israel. This is the question. Do we need from beginning to end to be in the hands of Israel to take ubishut, mando avid tumura, to be in the hands of someone who can make a tumura, or the other side would be that as long as the mitkaper is the one who is Israel, and therefore he can create tumura, and therefore in this instance it would also be the Israel would have the ability to create tumura, take ubishut, we leave that as unresolved. So Gemara does resolve the fact that an Obi Kochavim cannot create tumura. What the Gemara does not resolve is if there is a Israel involved in it, meaning that he's makdish to Beima on behalf of Israel. Over there, the inconclusive part of it is, does that Israel, who's getting the kapara, does he have the ability to create tumura or not? How deeply involved is the Obed Kochavim here? Do we need it to be Israel ownership beginning to end? That's only when you create tumura. Or, even if the Obed Kochavim is involved, the fact that the Israel is getting the kapara, that's sufficient to allow the Israel to create tumura over here. And that's what the Gemara leaves as a teku. Okay, we'll stop over here.